right, let's turn our Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 27. Trying to look back over the service already. I was looking at the service, the music service, and man, you feel like, and your desire is to glorify God. And man, I feel like in music this morning, man, God, Jesus has been lifted up, and God has been glorified, and that is the desire for worship around here. Man, so glad you're here this morning. Acts chapter 27, and we'll read verse 26. It says this, "Howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island." Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do. What a beautiful day you've given us, Lord. And we're so unworthy of all your blessings, Lord. And Lord, I know November, Lord, is a month, Lord, that it's a good month to reflect on the year we've had, Lord. And Lord, and then, Lord, we can't do that without thinking of your goodness and of your blessings and of your mercies and of your grace, Lord God. Where would we be without your mercy and grace? Lord, we thank you so much for all that you've done. We thank you for this place, Lord. We desire to please you here, Lord God. And Lord, probably many, many others, Lord, are around this nation, around this world that desire to do the same. But God, we know this. We know that you can be everywhere at once. And so, God, I pray this morning you'd come here to Gilgrove Baptist Church. Lord, be in our service, Lord. Lord, as we sing the music and sing the songs to glorify you, Lord, I believe, Lord, you're here already. But Lord, in the message hour, Lord, in these days, our hearts must be burdened for lost souls. Lord God, those that we work with, those that we live in our neighborhoods, wherever it may be, we come in contact with, Lord, that are going to hell. And Lord God, you are the answer. You are the answer. Jesus, we pray, Lord, if someone, Lord, is here today that doesn't know Christ, Lord, today would be their day. And Lord, that we would be a place, Gilgrove Baptist Church would be a place where people could come and hear about Jesus Christ. And not only that, Lord, but also see in the members and those that come here, Lord, see Christ in their lives. God, I just pray that your hand would be upon this place today. Lord, move among the people here, all of us, saved and unsaved alike. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right, good. Thank you, Brother Jason. And again, thanks, as you mentioned, man, great music this morning, the choir, with some help there from Joy Anna, and that was great. And so thank you for that choir. And then Mrs. Antic on the special, man, love the words to that song. And then Mrs. Hayes on the offertory, so thank you for our morning. And, man, we're in the book of Acts. We started there. I was thinking about this, I mean, 10 months ago, right? 10 full months ago, we started in Acts chapter 1. And we're getting close to the end here. I don't know if... we'll see how many more Sundays we're in the book of Acts, but we're getting close to the end of the year. And so it's been a while here in the book of Acts. We're getting to the end, not only the book of Acts, but the end of the story historically we have of Paul's life here. And we talked about the last couple weeks about the journey that he made, and they were shipwrecked. And I want to take a minute this morning, and we went back into Acts chapter 27. We're going to move into chapter 28 here. Some this morning, but we read a verse there, and so I want to you look at that verse, short verse there, Acts chapter 27, and verse number 26, and this is something that that Paul, as he spoke to them, these men that were on the ship, he said, "I want to tell you, everyone's going to be saved. There's nobody that's going to lose their life." But verse 26 says, "Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." Now that word "must" is used several times in the Word of God. Not a lot, not as many as you would think, but a couple that come to mind for me. In fact, as you think about Jesus when he was there as a child, remember that in Luke chapter 2? And Jesus there as a 12-year-old, and he's his parents can't find him. They've taken off, and they think Jesus is with them, and he's not. So they're sort of on their path, on their route. Jesus is not there. So they go back and they finally find him there in the temple. And what does he tell them? He says, "What? I must be about my Father's business." He said, "I've got to do what God has told me to do. You know, God has a plan for each of us. And so we said we think about too. When I see that word must, I think about John chapter 4. And remember the Bible says as Jesus is making his journey, he must needs go through Samaria. What? God, that was God's plan for him. Hey, this morning, God has a plan for you. And you think, I'll tell you another one, Luke chapter 19. And we won't turn there for time's sake. Luke chapter 19 was Zacchaeus. And Jesus looks at Zacchaeus and says, I must go to your house today. He says, I'm going today. I must. And so God had a plan. God has a plan for each of us. In fact, turn back just a couple chapters to Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23, this is God's will for Paul. God has a plan for us. He has something he wants us to do. Look at Acts chapter 23, verse 11. We read this a few weeks ago. And the night following, the Lord stood by him, stood by Paul and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. In fact, go back to where we were, Acts chapter 27, just a couple verses before the verse we read in verse number 26. Look back at verse number 24. It says in verse 23, it says, the angel of God stood before me, verse 24, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. It's very evident from these verses that it was God's will that Paul go to Rome and then Paul go before Caesar. And that's what's going to happen. All right, Acts chapter 28, it begins sort of that process. The Bible historically doesn't talk a lot about it, but that's God's plan, God's will. But interesting here, in Acts chapter 27, verse 26, Paul says, God's going to take me to Rome, but first we must be cast upon a certain island. I want to talk this morning just a few minutes about God's detours. God's detours. You ever had a plan to go one way? I was thinking about this. We did this in the spring. We were going up to Pennsylvania. In fact, up to, there's Brother Ricky, up to Brother Ricky's brother, up to his church there. So we're going up to Pennsylvania, and we left on Friday to have a little extra time up there. So we left Friday, and I looked before we left, looked at the GPS in order to get there. You'll have to, but the most direct route takes you right through one of our favorite places to go, which is Washington, D.C. I mean, you love D.C. traffic. And so just to get up there, and especially when you have your whole family in the car, a family of six, and just to sit in traffic. So if I looked on the GPS, and it looked like a little bit of traffic, surprise. And I told my wife, hey, it looks like it's not much different. In fact, just about the same time to go up through. And so we said, all right, we'll go that way, less traffic. So we took a different route than what we normally do. And on that route, in fact, the only thing I hadn't thought about as we got on the route is the kids were hungry. They wanted to stop somewhere to eat. Not a lot of places to eat, right? We're trying to find somewhere to eat. We're there on 301, a pretty long stretch. There's nothing there. So I told my wife, hey, look up, see if you can find anything on there. So she looks up, and it looks up on her phone as we're going, and found a barbecue place a mile away from where we were, and we stopped. Man, now, my wife didn't like it as much as I did, but, man, it was really good. You know, we would have never discovered that place to eat if we hadn't gone a different route. If God's going to put some detours in your life sometimes for a purpose, for a reason. And it doesn't take away from his plan for you, his purpose for you. But there's some times where he says, hey, you're going to have to take a little detour. I don't know where that is in your life right now. Maybe something, look, I thought, God, you had me doing this, and now it's sort of headed this way a little bit. It doesn't mean he doesn't have a plan for you and a purpose for you. But there's a detour here. And let's look at the reason for that in chapter 28. So go to Acts chapter 28. Look at verse number 1. Remember, we're picking up from last week's story. They've all escaped. They all were made it safe to land. And we talked about that last week. All of them, exactly what God's word said happened. Verse 1 of chapter 28. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. So they get to this island. They escape. And now they're on this island. And verse number 2, they meet a group of people there. And it talks about this group of people, several things about them. First of all, it talks about their kindness. Look at verse 2. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. These weren't Greeks, okay? These were other people. They called them barbarous people. This meant that they weren't Greek. They showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. So we see this first. We see the kindness of these people, these natives. We don't know a lot about them. All right, we tend to think barbarous people, maybe, you know, were they headhunters, were they cannibals? But this was people they hadn't met before, obviously, that weren't Greeks. And so they're there and they meet these people, and these people are very kind to them. They kindle the fire. They get a fire started. They're still, obviously, they've been in a storm. It's still raining. It's still cold. And they received us, everyone. We read that. We say, oh, that's great. Well, remember, received us, everyone, is 276 people, right? So 276 people show up on this island off of this ship. All of them saved. So it wasn't just, you know, 5 or 10, hey, y'all help us out. No, it's a large group of people. And the people there on the island, the Bible says they showed them kindness. Isn't this always what God does? God had told Paul to take care of him, and so he brings Paul to another group of people, all right? Paul had a promise from God, we'll take care of you. Now he uses this group of people to help take care of Paul and to help take care of the ones around him. And then, what happens in the story there, we go from the kindness of the people to the conclusion of the people. Look at this, verse number 3. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, so first of all, we see this. Paul, he's the one that had told them, hey, you're going to be saved. He's the one that, remember, told them, don't go off this ship. And they cut the ropes off so they couldn't leave. He's the one that the centurion said, hey, we're not going to kill the prisoners. Why? Because of Paul. Because of Paul. And yet Paul, despite all that, despite the attention he received, look what Paul's doing. Paul's going around gathering up sticks. The Apostle Paul was not too big to go around and pick up a few sticks from the fire, right? He's there helping out. He's serving. And so Paul does that. And so he goes around the fire there in verse number 3. When Paul gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, what happens? The Bible says, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. So Paul's there putting sticks on the fire, and a snake. Now, I'm not a snake fan. I probably told you all that a few times before. I'm not a fan of a snake. Anyway, I won't go into all my snake stories, right? But not a fan of snakes. In fact, I was last night, it was getting dark, and I was grilling some stuff on the grill. I don't know what on the grill, but I did last night. And that fire's there, it's getting a little dark, and that heat of the grill, and I told my wife, what if a snake comes? But right now, I'm just attracted to that. I've just been reading this story. I don't know. So, but Paul's there. Put sticks on the fire, and the Bible says this. Imagine you're watching this, and the snake just fastens on his hand. I don't know what my reaction would have been, but it would not have been what Paul's was, right? So verse number 3, it fastens on his hand. And these natives see it, verse number 4. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, just that mental picture, right? They're watching, they just see. There's a snake hanging off this guy, all right? This venomous creature hanging off of him. They said among themselves, they began to talk among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. So this group of natives there, they come to this conclusion. I don't know how much they knew already in the short time they've been around them. If they knew that there were some that were soldiers and some that were sailors and some that were prisoners, we'd imagine there was some sort of distinction. I don't know that, you know, I don't know that Paul had an orange jumpsuit on or striped clothing or what, but probably some sort of distinction about who was the prisoner and who wasn't. And these natives, they say, hey, obviously this guy, the gods are out to get him, right? They said, these people have been shipwrecked. He didn't get killed by that, but now this guy obviously is guilty. This snake has come to finish off the job, and that's what's happened there. And so that's their conclusion. Their conclusion, verse number 5. Now, this is not what I would have done. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. So you imagine Paul there and has that on it, and he just sort of shakes it off. Now, I like the last part of the verse, because I tell you this. When we're in God's will, we don't have to worry about harm. I'm not saying that we won't go through things that hurt. I'm not saying that we won't go through pain or physical difficulty. That's not true. We know that's true with Paul throughout his life. But isn't it interesting, when we're in the will of God, we don't have to worry about feeling harm. No harm's going to come to Paul. You know why? Because God said you're going to harm. Hey, I got you going to this island here, but this is, and Paul knew he was in the will of God. And again, we don't go around and flaunt that. I don't know. But if we're doing what God has called us to do, God has us here for a purpose. What did Jesus tell them as they tried to make him king? And other times when it looked like, remember when they gathered around, they were ready to push him off the cliff, they said, it wasn't his time yet. No, it's not his time. No, he's in God's will. So there's no harm going to come to Jesus until it was the right time. And here, Paul takes and shakes that venomous beast off into the fire and feels no harm. Now, again, you imagine these natives that are looking. Look at verse number 6. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. So they're watching. They said, man, they see him sort of shake it off, and they're looking. They're waiting for that just keel over or convulsions or something. Nothing happens. Verse number 6. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. You have a change of mind. So these natives, they start out, they're kind. Then they jump to this conclusion, hey, this guy's a murderer. Now they have a change of mind. By the way, that just reminds us, don't pay attention to what everybody around you says. Because does they go from murderer to a god in 2 verses? Hey, this morning I can't base what I'm doing on everybody else thinks or whatever else says. I just can do what God wants me to do. Paul couldn't take what they're saying one way or the other and worry about that. Because people change. They change. They change. They change. They continue to change. And now they man, this guy, there's something different about him. He must be a god. And so in verse number 6, they change their minds. And then look at how they behave here. Look at verse number 7. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. You see this in verse 1 and 2, the kindness of the people. Now you have a name. The chief man on the island, his name is Publius. And he takes in, and the Bible says received us. We know Luke was there with Paul. We assume that's Luke and Paul, those who traveled with them together. I don't know how many of that group that he received, but definitely Luke and Paul and their group. And he, for 3 days, he courteously takes them in, hospitable as a native there. Again, we don't know what they normally were like, but in this case, they're very welcoming to Paul and to those around him. And so he receives them. And so as he does that, in verse number 8, it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So Paul goes from being a murderer now to what? He's there in the house of Publius. He goes in and shows the power of God to those around him. So they're there, and Paul, now I believe this, as these natives were kind to Paul and were kind to those who were with him, and God says, listen, I won't be up to you. By the way, we treat God's man right, and God's going to take care of us. We treat the men of God right. We treat those who are serving right. God's going to take care of us. And so God takes care of this group of people as they treat Paul, as they treat Luke, as they treat those around them right. And so Paul goes in and he prays and he lays his hands on this father of the chief there, and the father is healed. So as he's healed, what happens in verse number 9? So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. So they begin to bring all these that have diseases. Now the Bible doesn't tell us not to get too much into the Greek there, but the couple different words that are used there for healed. And so it could be that Paul healed them. It could be, we know this, Luke's a doctor. It could be that Luke, through his knowledge of as a doctor, was able to do some things to help them as well. Either way, we know this, as they brought that group of people there to Paul and to those around him, that they were healed, and God did something. We'll get to the last verse in a second, but I want you to think about this for a minute. God sent Paul on a detour. When he sent Paul on a detour, Paul met a group of people he would have never met otherwise. Paul comes across a group of people, and this group of people, and by the way, it's the truth of the Word of God. You respond to the Word of God. God's going to respond to life. God's going to send you. I don't know what this group of people had done before, if there was a desire for God or not, but God sends Paul and these others their way, and as they treat them right, and they try to do right by them, then God says, hey, I'm going to give you some more. And so he gives them an opportunity here to be healed. Obviously, as Paul and Luke are there to share the gospel with them, a group of people that would have never been reached. You know, God can give us blessings we would have never seen, as he sends us on a detour. And as God works those things out, I've told that story before, but we were, years ago, we took our young people to Niagara Falls. We took some of our teenagers. In fact, it's my wife. wife and I and Josiah. Josiah's probably a year, not even a year old, maybe a little over a year old, somewhere in there. And we took five of our teenage guys and five of our teenage girls and loaded them up in a van and drove up to Niagara Falls. And so I remember, we got there. Anybody been to Niagara Falls? You've been to Niagara Falls before or not? Okay, a lot of you have. There's not a lot there. This was years ago. I was very disappointed in the eating choices around here, right? Not a whole lot. But we got in a motel. We had gotten rooms at the Holiday Inn, and I had talked to somebody on the phone, all right? And somebody on the phone that had trouble understanding me speaking English, but I was talking on the phone, all right? And I said, I just want to make sure, because I had a group. So what we did was this. We had four rooms, two sets of adjoining rooms. And so my wife was going to stay with the girls, and they're going to have rooms that were adjoining. And so none of the kids were staying by themselves, and I was going to stay with the guys. So we had that all set up. So I remember I showed up to the Holiday Inn, go in to check in. Say, hey, we've got four rooms. I said, okay, we've got it. And they gave me the rooms. I said, well, are these adjoining rooms? And she said, well, no, they're not. I said, I've got to have adjoining rooms. I said, I've told the parents, your kids aren't staying by yourself. I've got to have adjoining rooms. So you have some. And she said, well, we don't have it. I said, you don't have any available? She said, no. We don't have any in the motel. I said, okay, what do I do? We did have vans we could sleep in. All right, I didn't want to do that. Now, they were able to, they did because they had told me, I don't know who told me, anyway, because of that, they didn't make us pay for the room. So this is before the days, okay, I had a cell phone. All right, let me explain something. I had a cell phone, but it didn't have internet on it. I know some of you, it's hard to... So we couldn't look up anything. What I did have was my trusty... How many of y'all remember these? My trusty AAA book. You remember your AAA books? Okay. I had my trusty AAA book that I had. So I'm flipping through there. And so I find this number for the Red Coach Inn. All right, Red Coach Inn. Not Red Roach Inn. All right, I stayed there before. All right, this is the Red Coach Inn. And I call them. I said, look, here's my situation. What do you have? They said, we have two bedrooms that will sleep six. And we went, I'm talking about if you go, all right, full price now. If you go, stay there, all right, they're very, very nice. And we had beautiful two bedroom suites, and it was actually. Those two rooms were cheaper than the four rooms I was going to pay for. And they said, we've got them right now. You can be over here in 15 minutes. Hey, God worked it out where it was better than what we had. When it happened, when I was told we don't have the money, I mean, I'm going to do everything in my mind. I'm wondering, what do we do? I don't know what to do. Where are we going to go? I mean, these people have entrusted their young people to me, and I don't want, I got to find them. They're going to be somewhere. And God worked that out to be better. You know, God's always got a plan. He's always got a plan. Look at this. Look at the last verse here that we'll talk about. Look at verse number 10. After they were healed, what happens? Verse 10. Who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. Now go back a few verses. Go back to verse number... let's see. Let's go back to verse number 36 of chapter 27. And they were all of good cheer, and they also took some meat, and we were on the ship 260 souls. When they'd eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. You look back up further, and they cast out all... Where were all their supplies? They got rid of them all. They got rid of them. Didn't happen. Guess who provided for them? He said, I got an island I want you to go to. And I got some natives there that they've got some things ready to give you. And so before they leave, these natives have given them what they need for the journey. See, I don't understand what I'm going to do to you. Hey, by the way, let me tell you this. There's going to be times, There's going to be times where you don't understand. We were going to Pennsylvania, not this summer, last summer. All right? We were headed there. One of our problems is we keep going north. We need to go south. All right? If we go south, we'd be doing a lot better. We were going up to Pennsylvania for a vacation. And we stopped in Baltimore and walked around the harbor a little bit. It was 95 degrees. It didn't last long. And we're heading up to Pennsylvania, and this is not this summer, summer four. And everywhere I look on my GPS, it says, you go this way, severe thunderstorms, everywhere. So we're heading up, trying to get on Interstate 83, and I think I'm talking about minutes before we got there, whether it was tornado, straight lines, whatever, just went through there. And 83 is closed down. Can't go 83. So we start going back roads. Never been, right? Especially me. So we start going back roads. And this is, I won't take you through the whole hearing experience, all right? But, I mean, we were going through, we had a couple times where power lines are, like, here. It's like, I think we can clear that. Wife's like, no. It's like, yeah, let's try it. And so I think we can get through there. So we get through, we got to one, because everywhere we went there was trees. So we get to one, there's a tree blocking the road. But there's a church parking lot on the other side. But to get the church parking lot, you got to go through the grass, which, of course, raining storm is pretty slick. And you know, a minivan loaded down with luggage, not the best thing to take through. So, but we did. So we went around and sort of started fishing a little bit, get through. And I'm not, it's no exaggeration, everywhere we went, we eventually, and probably five or six different places, we finally get there, you got to turn around and come back. Nowhere to go. I mean, everywhere's blocked off. I mean, people are, it's just, it feel like third world country, trees are, everywhere we went, trees are down. Just everywhere through there. We finally go back to the church where we had gotten through, and we parked there for a second trying to figure out what to do. We see another car get stuck, and by this time, my wife's crying, I'm crying, kids are crying, all right? Everybody's upset. Finally, we got behind some trucks that had guys that were actually moving trees out of the way, and we just sort of went with them. And finally got back on, I mean, we're talking about a couple hours later, back on 83. Really, are we going to get out of this now? Hey, sometimes everywhere you go is blocked. And to be honest with you, you say, well, what was God trying to teach him that? I have no idea. I don't know. Maybe so I could tell it to you, all right? But I have no idea. And there's going to be some things in your life, some detours in your life, that this is just blocked and you can't go there, and this is blocked and you can't go there, and this is, and you got to turn. You say, oh, I don't know what you're doing. This morning, you've been facing a detour, and you don't know what's going on. And you may not know. I'm telling you this. If you're doing what God wants you to, and you're in God's will, then God's got a reason, He's got a plan, He's got a purpose, and I can't always see it. But here God says, hey, Paul, you're going to speak before Caesar, and you're going to Rome, but before you go, I got a job. Hey, this morning, God said, man, you're down the road, God's got this and this, but He says, hey, right now, I've got this. I've got this. And you may not understand it. And you may not know why God's doing it. Let me tell you something. If you're in God's will, you're trying to follow what God says. This morning, understand that God's got something He's doing in your life. He does. There was another group that God could reach through Paul. Interesting, isn't it? I'll close with this. You say, yeah, but you don't understand. Some of the things that are going on in my life are of my own doing. Go back to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1, we'll finish with this. Jonah chapter 1, what's the problem here with Jonah? Jonah's problem was him, right? It wasn't the circumstances. It wasn't just something he couldn't do anything about. No, Jonah went against God's will. Look at Jonah chapter 1. In verse number 15, this group of men that Jonah would have never met if he had done what was right. And again, I'm not advocating you do what's wrong. No, not at all. But I want you to see what God does, even with this, what God does out of this. Verse 15, so they took up Jonah, these men, and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from raging. So they didn't know what to do, and Jonah says, hey, you're going to have to get rid of me. And they said, all right, finally. They don't want to, but hey, if it'll make it so, they do. And then look at verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. You had some men here that were reached that would have never been reached. Now, I'm not advocating what Jonah did. What I'm saying is this. God can work through anybody. God can work out. As you're going through a detour and you say, I don't understand what I'm going through right now. Hey, trust God. Trust God through the detours. Trust that he's got a plan for your life. And this morning, what I'm trying to tell you is this. I know it's hard right now, but be thankful for the detours. Be thankful. Because God's got them there for a reason. We finish up here one more time in Acts chapter 28, verse number 10. Who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. They walked out of there with the blessings of God, because God had a detour for them in their life. Hey, this morning, maybe you're in the detour. Maybe you've seen a few. Maybe you're heading towards run right now. Hey, God's got a detour for you. He's got a plan for you. But he's got, hey, I want you to head over to this island for just a little bit. Hey, trust God. Trust God with your life. God will take care of you. He will. God, hey, if you're following his will and you're following his plan, God will take care of you. Father, I pray that you help this point, each of us. Lord, it's not easy sometimes to see the circumstances or the difficulties in life. And Lord, we know that you have a plan for us and a purpose for us. And it seems like we're not really heading that direction. Lord, I can't help but think of the stories in the Word of God, and Lord, those that knew that you had something special for them, but there's a few detours they had to go on before they got there. And Lord, as Paul goes to this island, Lord, and is able to reach some people he would not have been able to reach before. He's able to be a witness to those who never maybe would have heard, at least at this point, the gospel. And then, Lord, you're able to provide for them something they couldn't have come up with their own, Lord. Those things that in trusting you they had gotten rid of, and yet you replaced them through a group of people they never would have thought they would have gotten them from. Lord, help us to see those truths in from your word. And Lord, help us to trust you even in the detours. Lord, not every detour are we going to understand why. Not every one are we going to see, Lord, oh, I can see right now. Hey, this is even better than what I had before. Not always. But Lord, help us as we go through these things that we don't understand. Lord, help us to trust you through them, that your plan, your purpose for us is what is going to happen if we follow your will. And Lord, bless us this morning, maybe not as much geared towards salvation, but there's someone here that's not saved. Lord, we know this, your plan for each person. You told us that you're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Lord, there's not a person here this morning that you want to spend eternity in hell. Lord, if anybody from this crowd this morning spends an eternity in hell, Lord, it's because they chose to. Lord, it's because they went against what your word says and rejected Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that wouldn't happen. I pray that there wouldn't be a person here that walks out of this building rejecting Jesus. Lord, if there's someone not saved, help them accept Jesus Christ today. In Jesus' name. If everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed this morning, and nobody looking around, let me ask you this morning, do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? We sang this morning, will we all get to heaven? We sang, what a day that will be. Man, looking forward to that day. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know this, your destination, your final destination is heaven. There may be some things you have to deal with on the journey there, but that's your final destination. Here this morning, say this, I know for sure I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. Bowed and eyes closed this morning. If you consider that, would you just slip your hand up and say, I know I'm saved this morning? Put it right back there. Here this morning, you say this, you say, I'm not sure about my salvation. Again, I'd spend a lot of time on this morning. But if you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you can't sing when we all get to heaven. You may hope. You say, I'm trying really hard. That's not enough. The only way we get to heaven is through Jesus Christ, as we heard some this morning. There has to be a righteousness there It's not our righteousness. The only way we get to heaven is through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If you're this morning, say this, I'm not sure if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. I can't say that I know if I was to die, I'd wake up in heaven. If you like that, I won't embarrass you at all, but I want you to be honest before God. Just be honest this morning. If you just slip your hand up and say, pray for me, I'm just not sure I'm saved, not sure I'm on my way to heaven. And if you're not sure, get that taken care of. Get it taken care of today. Hey, then how about this? In your life this morning, say, man, it seems like I'm on a little detour. Hey, thank God for the detours. God's got something he's trying to do for you if you let him. Hey, God's got something he's trying to do. I don't see it. I know you don't. Don't always see it, but God's got something he's doing. You make sure you're doing what God's called you to do. Paul was confident in God. He believed in God's word. He's confident in what God had told him. You trust God. And thank him for the detours this morning. As music plays, you come forward as the Lord spoke to you. Good, man. Thanks so much for being here this morning. Enjoy today. Beautiful weather outside. And I'll give you a couple reasons to come back tonight, all right? Number one, Brother Jason is preaching, all right? So you need to come in here and preach tonight. That's number one. And then number two, we had our fall festival on Tuesday, and we need to announce the winners. We're going to do that tonight. We're going to do that tonight just to build the suspense a little more. And we're still working on that. But anyway, so we'll have that tonight, though. Tonight, so the winners for our chili and desserts contest and our cornhole contest, and we'll have all that tonight. So be back tonight. You want to hear the winners because we're not going to live stream that tonight, all right? So you want to be here. You got to be here to hear it. So two reasons to come back tonight. So be back for that tonight. By the way, thanks to all that helped out on Tuesday night. That was great. Man, had a great service Wednesday night with Brother Larry Brown. Man, just enjoy that. So had a good week this past week. So be back tonight. Be back tonight for both of those. And I hope to see you then, all right, and have a great day today. Mr. Myers, if you would, why don't you close in prayer?
Doing it.